substance on hand at a hastily erected speaker's platform shortly after Mr. Ford spoke at ceremonies at Grand Rapids Junior College.
We used to like to win, and that's what this country's all about, competition. It's good for America, it's good for schools, it's good for students, it's good for us, and that's what makes America great today.
It was not coincidental that for Jimmy Carter and his running mate, Walter Mondale, the campaign ended in another part of Mr. Ford's home state, Michigan. A wind-up rally of 7,000 cheering supporters in a labor auditorium in Flint, Michigan. Carter embraced Mondale. Mondale conceded it's going to be close on Tuesday. Betty Ann Bowser covered the rally. We asked her about it.
The significant thing about the rally was that it was in Mr. Ford's home state, in an area with very high unemployment, in an area that usually is a swing county. It often goes Democratic, but no one ever knows. The Carter people seem to feel that Flint is a place where Jimmy Carter could pick up a lot of votes and perhaps even carry the state. As you may know, the state is considered a toss-up. And as he goes home tonight, he seems in a very up mood. On Peanut One this afternoon, he came through the plane and talked with reporters. He said he thought he'd run a very good campaign. The only mistake he felt he had made was the Playboy interview.
Carter awaits the returns at his home in Plains, Georgia. The first vote in the nation, a midnight vote in the East, is faithfully recorded each and every presidential year by the hamlet of Dixville Notch in the Republican White Mountain country of New Hampshire. And that votes in, as usual, from town selectman Steve Barba.
We had 26 voters, and one voted for Eugene McCarthy, one was void. Whoever it was voted for three candidates for president. 11 voted for Carter Mondale, and 13 voted for Ford Dole.
The first vote in the nation, a tradition, at Dixville Notch, New Hampshire. More politics after this.
Live it up and live longer. That's the message in a special 32-page report based on authoritative medical research. In this report, you'll learn about the 600 variables tested by scientists to discover the secrets of long life and the one factor that counts most. You'll read about the vitamin that's thought to keep the mind young and how diet can help you resist aging. This report was prepared by America's largest health magazine, Prevention, and it's now available without charge to new subscribers. Each month, almost 2 million subscribers look to Prevention for the latest medical findings to help families lead healthier lives. If you'd like to receive Prevention and the free report on living longer, try 12 monthly issues for only $5.85. If you don't like the first, cancel. Keep the first issue. Keep the special report. You owe nothing. Send no money now. Just phone toll-free 800-228-2200. That's 800-228-2200. To receive Prevention and your free report on living longer, call 800-228-2200.
The Republican vice presidential candidate, Senator Bob Dole, ended his blunt-edged campaign with a rally before the statue of Harry Truman in Independence, Missouri. Against a backdrop of spotlights, balloons, and bands, Dole reminded his audience in Missouri, a major electoral state, that President Ford emulates Truman. The comparison on election eve was not lost. Within hours after a black minister tried and failed to join worshipers at Jimmy Carter's Georgia church on Sunday, the President Ford Committee had sent telegrams to 400 black ministers around the country to tell them of the incident. One of them, the Reverend Alfred Waller of Cleveland, called the incident a conspiracy against Jimmy Carter. Carter and his minister are already on record as opposing segregation at Plains Baptist Church. There are reports the congregation of the church will be asked to ratify a decision by the deacons to dismiss the minister for supporting the desegregation of the Plains Baptist Church. A final rash of pre-election polls Monday concurred the presidential election is too close to call. Those polls included Harris and Gallup. A state-by-state survey by the AP projected a lead in electoral votes for Jimmy Carter, but shy of the number needed to elect. There are 23 toss-up states in the late AP poll. Now this.
How does your laxative work? Many brand-name laxatives contain ingredients that expand in your stomach. That's how they work. We know a medicine that works differently. It's in the X-Lax pill. Overnight, the X-Lax pill gently stimulates your system's own regular rhythm. Stimulates your system for relief in the morning. No surprises, just relief in the morning. That's the X-Lax pill. Try it tonight with confidence. For occasional use only as directed, X-Lax pills.
July 4th was America's 200th birthday, and what a glorious party we had. Now we're voting for the first president of our third century. I'm Douglas Edwards, CBS News. Be sure you vote and hear your vote count election night as correspondents George Herman, Neil Strausser, and the CBS News team bring you fast, complete coverage of the returns Tuesday night, November 2nd, here on the CBS Radio Network.
The leader of Albania, Enver Hoxha, indicated Monday that his country, for many years Peking's only fraternal ally in Eastern Europe, will place less reliance on ideological and material aid from Peking. Hoxha was addressing the Albanian Communist Party Congress. I'm Jerry Landay, CBS News.
NKIXI Seattle, the weather outlook calls for increasing cloudiness tonight with chance of a few showers late tonight and tomorrow. Partly cloudy tomorrow night and Wednesday with patchy night and morning fog. Highs upper 50s, lows upper 40s. Currently in downtown Seattle, it's 49 degrees. Taking a look at sports briefly, Lydell Mitchell rambled for 136 yards as the Baltimore Colts put on an awesome display in defeating the Houston Oilers 38-14 in Monday night's nationally televised NFL game. Mitchell also caught seven passes for 49 yards. Roosevelt Leakes and Don McCauley each scored on short runs, and Tony Linhart added a 25-yard field goal to complete the Colts' scoring. But it was not just an offensive display by the Colts. Baltimore's defense sacked Houston quarterback six times for 63 yards and held the Oilers to minus 7 yards passing in the first half. In the National Basketball Association, the Kings beat the Knicks 105-101. The time is 7 minutes past 10.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall, comprador of all the fiends and felons, plus some poor, plain, unfortunate fellows who must regularly report for duty at this time and place. Trust none, advises William Shakespeare. Trust none, for oaths are straws. Men's faiths are wafer cakes, and holdfast is the only dog. Trust none. Surely we should be able to trust somebody. No, not according to some of the greatest English poets. Didn't Kipling say, he travels fastest who travels alone? The following is a dramatic essay in trusting one's fellow man and what may come of it.
Don't look now, but the man near the window is a police detective.
Would he suspect me?
A good policeman suspects everybody.
He's coming this way.
Maybe he isn't after you.
But if I'm found in civilian clothes...
You mustn't try to get away. You'll only look guilty.
With forged papers? Do they have the right to shoot me?
Oh, it's hard to say. They might not. It all depends.
On what?
Who knows? He's coming. Try not to look guilty.
Our mystery drama, Overnight to Freedom, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars William Redfield. It is sponsored in part by Contact, the 12-hour cold capsule, and Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
It is a magic moment. You are at your Buick dealer's, about to drive home in your brand new Buick LeSabre. It's lean and trim, classic lines. It looks quite unlike any full-size Buick you can remember. You get in. A heady new car smell surrounds you. Your LeSabre feels the way it looks, tight. You turn the wheel a little. No wasted motion in this car. Big brushed metallic gauges look back at you. That V6 engine is doing great. You rub your hand on the seat. Six people could be really comfortable in here. You swing into your driveway. Your wife, the kids, the dog, everyone but the parakeet descends in the car and gets in. Off you go to nowhere in particular. Life and your new LeSabre are great. Maybe the dog shouldn't sit on the seats.
someday, the science of genetics will be so advanced that every child will be born without handicaps, with perfectly functioning minds and bodies. Maybe someday. But today there are 7 million handicapped children, and they need special education to develop their full potential as human beings. In this country, every child has the right to the kind of education he needs, regardless of his handicaps. Yet millions are not getting it. If you have a child who is handicapped, physically, mentally, or emotionally, we have information that can help. Write Closer Look, Box 1492, Washington, D.C., 20013. Closer Look is a free service of the United States Office of Education. Write Closer Look, Box 1492, Washington, D.C., 20013. A public service message by this station for the United States Office of Education.
World War II, it seems so long ago and far away, such ancient history. Half the people living today weren't born till after it was over. And yet, for those who survived it, World War II can never be forgotten. We're about to meet a survivor. The year is 1943. World War II rages toward its fiery climax. We're in a railroad station in Glasenheim, an industrial city in central Germany. A young man, who appears to be a French volunteer from the cut of his clothes, is sitting on a bench. He is whispering something to himself.
The Café de la Paix on the Rue Napoléon asks for Mr. Lafayette. The Café de la Paix on the Rue Napoléon asks for Mr. Lafayette. No, or is it the Café Napoléon on the Rue de la Paix? Or the Café Lafayette on the... No, I had it right the first time.
The young man lights a cigarette and begins to puff nervously. A middle-aged man who wears a beret watches intently. Now the middle-aged man casually saunters over to the bench and sits down next to the young one. He unfolds a newspaper. He pretends to read. Now he begins to talk in a quiet, confidential tone.
You must do something about that cigarette.
What?
Keep your voice low. You smoke like an American.
Who are you?
Shh, shh, shh. Just listen. Very slowly, very casually, grasp the cigarette between your thumb and your forefinger. Light it and point it out. Yes, good. Ah, that's better. You are an American, aren't you? A prisoner of war. And you're trying to escape.
Oh, I think you're mistaken.
Well, things considered, you could pass for a Frenchman in those clothes. A volunteer French worker going on a furlough? Why not?
I assure you, sir, I...
Smile.
What are you?
Smile. People going home on a furlough should look happy.
Well, what are you going to do?
I said smile.
What are you going to do about me?
Help you escape.
You will? Why?
Because I'm a Frenchman.
Oh, yeah? And why did you volunteer to come to Germany and work for the enemy?
You'd be surprised how many defective fuses we can put on the shelves.
What is it?
The one in the trench coat. I think he's a detective.
He must be looking for me.
When will your escape from the camp be noticed?
I guess not for another hour.
Then don't start to worry now. Your French, it's excellent. A bit cultured for a workman, but...
Well, I was a European language major at college before I was drafted. That cop is looking at me.
Yawn.
What?
A big yawn and stretch your arms.
Oh.
As if you didn't have a worry in the world. Yeah, that's fine. Bigger.
You better get away from me.
I said I would help you.
They shoot civilians who help POWs.
My name is...
No. Don't tell me your name. When I'm captured, it'll be better if I didn't know it. I'll just call you Pal.
Why did you say you'll be captured?
Because this escape, this whole thing, it's just crazy. It can't work.
Why?
It's a long story.
You have a passport? Papers?
Yes, yes, yes. I've got all that.
You look like a Frenchman. You talk like a Frenchman. You have papers. Why shouldn't you succeed?
Because that cop, he's looking at me. And don't tell me it's my imagination. He's looking at me.
Yeah, he isn't looking at you. He's looking at her.
Who?
The blonde. Oh, not bad looking. Headed this way, and she will sit down right next to you.
Oh, great. Every cop in the station is looking her over.
Flirt with her.
What?
Are you good at picking up girls?
I've been a prisoner so long, I forgot how.
Remember, in a hurry, it's normal to flirt with a pretty girl. Be normal.
Okay, okay. Are you waiting for the train, Fräulein?
No. I just like to come to the station and feed the pigeons.
Well, what pigeons? I see. You care for a cigarette?
Thank you. Say, these are American.
Oh, yes. Well, you see, we have prisoners of war at this place where I work, and you know.
Oh, they're wonderful. I mean the cigarettes, not the prisoners. Dankeschön.
Bitte schön.
French, aren't you?
Oh, and here I thought my German was so good.
Oh, it's too good. No native speaks that well. Only a foreigner who learns German in a university.
Oh, I'll have to remember that.
Where are you going?
Nancy. It's my furlough.
Isn't that a coincidence? I'm going to Nancy, too. I'm a lab technician at the German military hospital.
Oh.
I've just been home on a holiday. Oh, my name is Ursula Reinmuth.
Oh. I'm George Mc... My name is Louis.
Which is it, George or Louis?
I'm sorry, it's both. I was named George Louis, but Louis Cardinet, that's the name on my papers.
Do you work here in Glassenheim?
Yes.
Where?
Where? At the Diekhoff Baumann workshops.
You can't be serious.
Why not?
You were sent from heaven to save my life.
I was?
You know my father.
I do?
Everybody knows Papa. He's plant manager at Diekhoff Baumann. Otto Reinmuth.
Oh, Herr Reinmuth. Oh, yes. Yes, that's right.
Now, here's how you're going to save my life. You see, Papa hates for me to travel on the train alone. Too many soldiers. Papa doesn't trust soldiers. That's because he was once a soldier himself. Anyhow, when he sees you...
When he sees me...
Of course. He'll be here any second.
Here?
Of course. He wants to see me off. So I can say to him, Papa, I'm not traveling alone. I'll be with one of your own workmen, Louis Cardinet. Oh, will Papa be glad to see you.
Could you excuse me, please? I have this terrific toothache. I better go to see if I can find something.
Oh, you won't find anything around here. But I may have just the thing... Little bottle of cognac right here in my bag. Ah, yes. This'll fix it. Take a sip.
Oh, but I...
Say, I'm a medical technician. I know what is what. There. Isn't that better? Now, let's save some for later. Do you, have a compartment?
No, I...
You mean you're going to stand up in that crowded corridor all night?
Well, I guess the military get the priority.
Well, I'm in a compartment. And as soon as somebody gets off, why don't you just come inside? I rode in the corridor coming home. 50 people packed in that narrow space.
Hey, the train's coming. We better go to the platform.
Oh, no. We have to wait for Papa. Well, what could be keeping him? If he doesn't hurry, he'll miss us.
Oh, that would be terrible.
There's Papa. Just come in the door, see?
Look, I have to. I promised I'd help my friend with his luggage.
Oh, no, I'm holding on to you for dear life. If he sees I'm traveling with you, I can leave without one of his famous lectures. Can't he just curl your hair, though, when he gets started?
But look,
Isn't that typical? He stops to talk with that fellow near the window. Papa knows everybody. Listen, you have got to be a good, reliable fellow. Otherwise, you'd never have earned a furlough. And that means you're one of Papa's favorites.
But we'll miss the train.
There's plenty of time. I'll make him hurry. Papa! Papa! Over here! Oh, when he gets involved in a conversation...
Look, could you help me out?
Help you?
I,
I know I don't have the right to ask, but sometimes you meet someone for the first time and you feel that you... I don't know how to explain.
Maybe you don't have to. Papa, over here. I'm over here.
I don't want your father to see me.
Papa, hurry. What did you say?
I'd rather he didn't see me.
What do you mean?
Look, I had to work overtime to get the furlough, and it got to be so late last night that I just couldn't finish the polishing of several outer casings.
Oh.
I mean, it's nothing serious or even important. No one would even notice.
Oh, Papa would.
And you know, I'm just...
It's a good thing you told me. Papa could make you go back there and finish right now.
Yes.
Do I ever know Papa? Oh, he's coming now. I don't think he sees you. You better go to the platform.
Yes. Yes, I better.
I'll see you on the train. I'll see you on the train.
So far, not bad, huh?
Oh, yeah.
See how you used your head with that girl back in the station?
I never thought so many people could jam into a corridor.
Isn't it the same on trains in America?
We have different trains.
Why do you look so nervous?
Well, To tell you the truth, I'm scared.
Well, just try to relax. You'll be all right.
Maybe I'd have been better off if I was still in the Stalag. The thing with that girl in the waiting room, it was just too much for me.
Oh, you were magnificent.
Yeah, but it made a wreck out of me. I can't live that way. I'm not that kind of person. I'm...
What is it?
I forgot my name. The name that's on my papers. The name of the person I'm supposed to be. What if the police come by and ask me?
But so far, they're not here.
Now, wait a minute. I told that girl my name back in the station. You heard me. Do you remember?
Yes.
Well, tell me.
No.
No? But you said you'd help me.
It wouldn't be helping. Look, you're starting to panic.
You bet your life.
You must work your way out just as you did with the girl.
Have they the right to shoot me if I'm caught wearing these clothes and with stolen papers?
These Germans, shooting or not shooting, it's never a matter of right or law. It's a whim, an attitude, a policy. There's a war.
Pal, the very best day in my whole life was the day they took me prisoner. They dumped me into the Stalag at Glossenheim. Where you freeze and you starve and heaven help you if you get sick, but at least I was alive. And with luck, I could keep alive till it was over and I could go home.
Smile, smile. Your face is becoming intense. Intense people arouse suspicion.
And I had good friends. You can escape, George. Only you can pull it off. You know why? Well, you parlez français, you sprechen Deutsch. They didn't ask me, they told me. And they risked their lives to steal every stitch of clothes I'm wearing. Plus money and papers, and they figured a way to get me out of there. I didn't want to go, but could I say no? I don't have a prayer of getting away with this. What I feel like doing right now is going up to the nearest cop and say, take me back to the Stalag. My name is... Now I remember. The name on my papers is Louis. Louis Cardinet.
Ah, and just in time. See, at the head of the car, those two SS officers, they're checking to see if everyone has papers.
Oh, no. They're looking at papers. They're examining papers.
Just be calm.
Be calm. These guys mean business. You see how they're staring at that man's papers?
My friend, you do have papers, don't you?
Papers?
I do, and I don't.
Well, what does that mean?
It means I have papers that I can flash, but not the kind of papers that can really be examined.
Are they forged?
No. They're real. A buddy stole them from that machine shop in Glassenheim. There is a guy named Louis Cardinet. Except he's twice my age and half my size.
Well, there's no help for it. You will have to show the papers.
But I can't.
Do not panic.
I gotta get out of here.
Where can you go?
Out the other end of the car. If I have to, I'll jump off the train. Maybe I can climb onto the roof.
You can't do that.
It's worth a try.
Ah, it's too late. See? Another team of SS inspectors has just entered. Both exits are blocked.
Oh, now what am I going to do?
Think, my friend. Think of something.
These days, people who are being faced with the making of a decision usually say,
Let us review our options. Corporal George McAllister, who is escaping from a German prison camp, has only one, and that is to show his stolen identification papers. Unless, of course, he can think of something. What can he possibly think of in the short space we have between now and the second act?
Budweiser presents Beer Talk.
When you say Bud, you've said a lot of things nobody else can say.
I once asked the Budweiser brewmaster which was best, bottled or draft. He said it depends on what you like. I said I like my Bud in a tall glass with a thick collar of foam. So which was best, bottled or draft? Then he said all Budweiser beer is carefully brewed and slowly beechwood aged the exact same way. So which is best, I asked. Budweiser, he said. Want a cold one? Absolutely, I answered. To which he replied, bottled or draft? I tell you, sometimes you just can't lose.
There is no other one. There's only something left. Because the king of beer is leading all the rest. When you say Budweiser,
you've said it all.
Anheuser-Busch, headquarters, St. Louis, Missouri.
Opportunity to become drown-proof.
Hey, Bud, what's this drown-proof bit?
Can you swim, sir?
No.
Then the YMCA wants to drown-proof you and every other non-swimmer in town by teaching you how to swim.
No kidding.
That's right. Think of the fun and exercise you'll have swimming, and you'll be able to enjoy all the other water sports, too, in safety. That's something to celebrate in this bicentennial year.
What's the bicentennial got to do with it?
How did George Washington get to Trenton?
He crossed the Delaware in a rowboat.
Sir, would the father of our country have set foot in a rowboat if he couldn't swim? He had to set a good example.
Like father, like son, eh?
And like mother, like daughter. Martha knew how to swim, too. Everybody's welcome at the Y to learn how to swim. So drown-proof yourself and your family and make George Washington proud of you. Hear ye, hear ye.
One night in the late spring of 1943, a train is speeding from Glassenheim, Germany, to Nancy in occupied France. The train is filled with German soldiers, officials, businessmen, volunteer workers from the conquered countries, and one escaping American prisoner of war. He's dressed as a French volunteer worker. His stolen passport identifies him as Louis Cardinet. His problem is, he doesn't look very much like a Louis Cardinet.
I tell you, pal, my papers aren't good enough to be examined the way that fat man is checking them.
My friend, sooner or later you will have to show those papers.
Not to that mean-looking fat one. I know his kind from back in camp.
Now you listen to me and you'll be all right.
How can I be all right?
Believe me, they depend on fear. Stare them down. You are Louis Cardinet, a machinist who has worked loyally for the glory of the new order. You are going home on furlough. There can be no question about you or your documents. This attitude is what they must read on your face when you hand them your papers.
Oh, sure.
Stare them down. They don't read the papers, they read your face. Let them read confidence.
I knew I shouldn't have taken the train.
It's the quickest way to go.
Go? Where?
But surely you know where you are going.
If I ever get there.
Why shouldn't you get there?
It's a certain place in Nancy, a cafe, where the underground is supposed to smuggle me back to England.
Oh, that's good.
Papers. I go there, and I give them a certain password.
Papers? Papers?
That officer, that fat one, he's working his way closer. He scares me.
Remember what I said? Look him in the eye.
Hello.
Oh, hello.
I've been looking all over for you, Louis. Enjoying the trip?
It's fabulous.
A woman in my compartment is getting off in about an hour from now, so there'll be room for you. That is, if you can tear yourself away from your friend. Oh, mind if I hold onto your arm?
Sure.
The train sways so much.
Papers.
Are You sure you're a Frenchman?
Why do you ask?
You're the shyest Frenchman I ever met, if you know what I mean. But that makes you very interesting. Oh, how's Hugo?
Who?
Hugo Heilman, chief draftsman at the shop.
Oh, Herr Heilman. Yeah, yes. Well, you know.
How's his wife?
Oh, about what you'd expect.
I know what you mean. What did they name the little girl?
The little... Brigitte. Yeah.
Brigitte? I can't believe that. How could he not name the baby after that rich old aunt of his, Margaret?
That's right, that's right. I'm sorry, he did. I was thinking of someone else. Sure, yes, he named her, Little Margarita.
No, the old girl may not leave him her money anyhow.
Oh?
Here are your papers.
Yes, sir, here they are.
Your papers, Fräulein.
My papers? My papers. Oh, they're right here in my bag. Right here. Oh, no. Now that I look, I don't have them in my... Oh, I know. They're in my suitcase back in my compartment.
Papers must be available for inspection at all times.
Oh, that's certainly true, sir. I'll go get them.
Papers. I said papers. What's the matter, you stupid foreigner? Don't you understand?
The poor fellow, he's not feeling well.
Keep out of this. You, your papers, what's your name?
My name?
Your name and your papers.
But yes, yes, I have them.
Hand them over. Remain here until I get back. Out of my way. What? Westerman, who have you got?
Now's my chance. I'll go out the other door and try for the roof.
It's impossible.
I can't face him. I fell apart. You saw it happen. I couldn't control it. Everything just became unglued, unstuck.
Well, put yourself back together.
You see, they caught somebody. The other guards are dragging him off, and here's Fatso making his way back. I can't face him. I can't. Not now.
Louis.
Look, I need time. Just a little bit of time, and I'll be all right.
I'll find you sometime.
How?
Here. Go into this compartment.
But who's in there?
Soldiers.
Soldiers?
They're in a good mood. Just came off furlough.
Are you crazy?
You're a soldier. You can get along with soldiers.
But these are German soldiers.
Soldiers are soldiers. In you go. Gentlemen.
Hey, what's this?
This poor fellow needs a little fresh air. He's a patriotic Frenchman who has been working for the Führer in the factory.
Oh, hey, it's the Frenchman with the good-looking blonde who was back at the station in Glasenheim.
Yeah.
Come on in, have a drink.
You'll be all right, Louis. You'll be all right.
Yeah, sure.
Hey, where's your girlfriend?
Go on, bring her in. Yeah, we could make her very happy. Yeah, right, fellas?
Yeah, bring her in.
Right.
Let him alone, Gerhard.
Well, what am I doing, Heinrich?
Nothing.
Let's say I want to be friendly, that's all.
You see, Frenchie, me and my buddies here, we are the happiest guys in the world, and we want everybody to be happy, right?
Right!
Yeah! And you know why we're happy, huh? We're being transferred to France, no more Russia. La belle mademoiselle France.
Right, Frenchie? Hey, we can't keep calling you Frenchie. I'm Gerhard, that's Heinrich, and Willy, and Johann, and Fritz, and Wolfie. What's your name?
Louis. Louis Cardinet.
Louis Cardinet. Well, now, that's a real French name. Hey, who's got a small...
Oh, please, try one of mine.
Hey! And these are American cigarettes. What? Where did you ever...
Well, they have a prison camp near Glasenheim. Some of the American prisoners work in my factory. You know, we trade.
American cigarettes? Guard them with your life. They cost a fortune. Aren't you smoking, Louis?
Well, it's bad for my lungs. I just carry these for friends.
Hey, Louis, you sit by the window.
Open it wide, Wolfie. Let Louis have your seat. There you go.
Oh, thank you. Thanks very much.
Hey, Louis, that girl you were with here, I say, she's your girlfriend, but Heinrich said that you picked her up.
Well, I
saw how he did it, Gerhard. It was a pickup.
Now, for a whole hour back in that waiting room, I've been trying to make her. How'd you do it?
Oh, what kind of question is that? He's got his technique.
Yeah.
Louis, among comrades, how are the French girls?
Well, I don't want to spoil it for you. You'll find out for yourself.
Words from a master.
Too bad you had to be in the French army.
How do you know he was in the army, Gerhard?
Well, because he don't look like a draft dodger type to me.
Were you in the French army, Louis?
Well, we can't hold it against you, Louis.
Yes, I was in the army.
I bet you are infantry.
Machine gunner.
Hey, you see, we're all soldiers together, so let's straight to the infantry. Hey, boss.
Well, it's our friend there, Zaz.
Papers.
What do you say, fatso?
Have a drink.
The civilian first. Now, it's you. Hand me your papers.
What are you yelling at the poor man for, huh?
Yeah, hot, piped up.
Yeah, sure. Now, look, fatso, while the fella's putting his papers together, come on, why not relax, have a little drink with us, huh?
Drink?
What's wrong with the drink?
Gerhardt, cut it out.
I want to know what's wrong.
You're drunk.
Was there a law passed against drinking while I was away?
Gerhardt, shut up.
I shall report you.
For what?
Disgracing the sacred uniform of a German soldier.
I disgraced this uniform for 18 months in Russia, too, huh? Respectful. Damn you. Respect for a combat soldier, you... You white-livered, yellow-bellied rear echelon commando.
Gerhardt!
We freeze and starve in the foxholes while fat slobs like you are cozy and warm at home with the wine and the girls and the steaks and the joy.
You're under your ass!
Let's see you take me, you pull that gun, and I'll ram it down your throat.
Let's throw him out the window.
Hey, wait! What happened to Louis?
Louis?
The civilian. Where is the civilian?
Poor Louis, he needed air. He must have fallen out the window.
Step aside. I must stop the train.
Hello there. See Louis?
Oh, Fräulein. He must be around somewhere.
If you find him before I do, tell him there's room in my compartment now.
I will.
Why is the train stopped?
I don't know.
Well, the police. Running up and down the track.
Probably looking for someone.
I suppose. You tell Louis I am looking for him.
Of course. Excuse me?
Where are you going to be? I don't want to lose sight of you. Louis always manages to turn up whenever you're around.
I have also been lucky. I found a friend who also managed to find room for me in her compartment.
You Frenchman.
Excuse me?
Have a happy trip.
Thank you.
Herr Kapitän, I don't know what happened, but he's gone. The American prisoner is gone. He's not here.
That's obvious, Schneider. And it's your fault.
Hmm?
Your fault.
Me? Why am I to blame?
Maybe you weigh too much. Maybe you remind him of a butcher. But there's something about you that frightens him.
I'm a very nice person. Why should I frighten anyone? Where could he have gone?
He is under your nose. Or should I say above your nose? On the roof.
Well, let's take him right now.
If that is what I wanted, I could have arrested him back at the Glassenheim station.
Captain, my orders are to search the train for all fugitives and arrest them immediately.
I have countermanded those orders.
But if he escapes, it will be my responsibility.
He is headed for Nancy. He has a connection with the French underground. If we discover this contact, we can destroy the entire escape network.
But we are not under orders to do that. Our orders are merely...
I saw this fellow immediately for what he was. Without my help, he couldn't even have gotten out of the railroad station. And I must keep helping him all the way to Nancy, all the way into the underground. Then we capture the lot.
Place not your trust in princes, the bard advises. From the look of things here, place not your trust in anybody. Poor George McAllister, or Louis Cardinet, the game he's in is rough enough, but to have to play it against a stacked deck, well, the cards are now being shuffled for Act Three.
Put your trust in what you feel. Put your trust in what is real. Give your cold wrist to contact. Real medicine for real colds.
Here in my hand is a little capsule. It's tiny, yet it contains enough cold medicine to help relieve cold symptoms caused by every known virus. It's Contact. The same 12-hour Contact you can buy. This year, Contact with its tiny time pills will touch more lives, help more colds than any other cold medicine, tablet or liquid. Think about that the next time you're sick, sneezing, dripping, all clogged up. Then let us help you with real medicine, like Contact. We're number one in the whole world.
Give your cold to Contact. Real medicine for real colds.
Take only as directed.
I'm Joan Sampson of the National Foundation for Jewish Genetic Diseases, and I have a health message for Jewish people. Sometimes the games people play can be deadly because they're played with the lives of children. Take genetic roulette. That's the game so many Jewish people play when they decide to have children without genetic counseling. How do they play it? By not knowing the facts about six inherited diseases peculiar to Jewish people. Don't gamble. No child should be born to suffer. Help prevent a tragedy in your family. Learn about these six crippling diseases. Many diseases strike particular ethnic groups. These are the ones that we know can strike Jewish people. Learn how they can strike without warning and how they can be prevented through counseling, screening, and testing. Write today for further information to the National Foundation for Jewish Genetic Diseases at 608 Fifth Avenue, New York, New York, 10020.
The wheels of the train are turning, and there are wheels within wheels. Turning too, and not all of them in the same direction. The kindly gentleman in the beret is helping George escape. Why not? He's an SS officer in disguise. He's assisting George to jump from the frying pan right into the fire.
But Captain, the safest thing for us would be to arrest him right now.
Get out of this compartment and keep out of sight.
I have to check papers.
Let Hans and Westermann do it. You frighten him. So just hide somewhere.
Please, Herr Kapitän, if he should escape. You realize I can be punished. I could be transferred into the infantry.
Well, at least you will lose weight. Now get out of here.
Louis, I know you're up there on the roof. Don't worry. You're safe. Climb down. Get in here.
Oh.
Here, let me give you a hand. That's it. Good.
Whose compartment is this? What's funny?
It's their compartment, the SS. What's the best place to hide from the police? By the police station, of course. Your fat friend left. He thinks you are off the train. So now they're searching the countryside.
I feel like a fool. I lost my head. I should have faced him down. I should have slapped the papers in his hand. I bet I could have carried it off, too.
Splendid.
It's what you said. It all adds up to confidence. Look him in the eye. That's the thing I always lacked, real confidence. I thought I could never succeed at anything, and the result was I didn't.
The man who feels confidence radiates confidence, and that's the difference between failure and success.
I can be successful. I feel that now.
All you need is nerve.
And I'm learning, thanks to you. I guess you're my guardian angel. You're always there when I need you. Yesterday morning, I was hoping something would come up to upset the escape plan, you know? I didn't have enough faith in myself. But meeting you, being with you, you helped me find belief in myself. If only I could repay you.
I'll get my reward. Now, let's get out of this compartment.
Louis, here I am.
I'm scared of that girl.
Oh, no, don't be. She's your guardian angel. Who suspects young lovers?
She acts flighty, but she's smart. Every now and then she gets in a question as if she's out to trap me.
It may be your imagination.
Stay there, Louis.
Wish I could get rid of her.
No. She turned the train inside out looking for you. Don't fight fate, Louis.
Found you, finally. Is the tooth still bothering you?
Well, I...
We've got the medicine for it in my compartment. Come on. There's plenty of room now. We have it all to ourselves. Oh, Louis. Louis, I knew it would be like this. The real thing would be like this. Didn't you, Louis? Louis?
Yes.
You're a very deep person, Louis. You're always very busy with your thoughts. You're just the kind of man I need. Do you know why?
No. Why?
Because I'm kind of, oh, Papa says, giddy, scatterbrained, and so I need a man who is very deep and intellectual.
Oh.
Then I saw you, and I knew. Then and there, I knew my fate. Even though you were a Frenchman, that didn't mean a thing.
It didn't?
Just between us, Louis. All this nationalist stuff, I don't go for it. Well, you're people, just like us Germans. Oh, but what are we doing talking politics?
I don't know.
Louis, I'm so happy. Hold me close, darling. Closer. Oh, Louis. I've got cold shivers running up and down my spine. Do you know why?
Because we're together.
No. Because we were almost not together. Oh, Louis, this almost didn't happen. You don't know how close we came to not meeting.
Oh.
Darling, remember back there in the station at Glassenheim? Well, I was looking for a place to sit, and then I saw you. Do you know who I thought you were?
Who?
I thought... No. No, I better not tell you.
Why not?
Because it's so silly.
Why is it silly?
Oh, forget it. Darling, do you believe in love at first sight?
Who did you think I was?
Oh, it's not important. Sometimes life can be like a novel. Two lonely people meet and fall in love.
Who did you think I was, Ursula?
Say that again.
What?
My name. That's the first time you ever spoke my name. Say it again.
Ursula.
Till now, I always hated my name. Ursula. Ugly. I'm more the Lisa or Elena type. But the way you say Ursula...
Well, it is such a lovely name. The soft U sounds, they seem to come up from the heart. It's a divine name. Ursula, who did you think I was?
Oh, it's final. I won't tell you.
But why, Ursula? Why?
Because you'll laugh at me.
I won't.
Swear?
I swear.
Well, back at the station, I thought you were... Now, you promised you wouldn't laugh.
I promise.
A man can lie to me, beat me, even betray me. But he mustn't laugh at me. I wasn't going to sit down next to you because for a moment I thought... I thought you were a Gestapo agent.
Me? A Gestapo agent?
Didn't I tell you it was ridiculous?
But why? Why would you think I was one of the secret police? Why would you think I was a Gestapo agent?
Because you were sitting next to one.
Who was sitting next to one?
You were. And the two of you seemed to be having such a confidential conversation. Naturally, I thought you were colleagues. But the moment you spoke to me, I knew I was mistaken. You were a Frenchman, and then I really became interested.
But I wasn't sitting next to... I was talking to another Frenchman.
Oh, he's a German.
You must be mistaken, darling.
Of course not. And he is the same man you've been talking to on the train.
How do you know?
My father is an important person in Glassenheim. He pointed this fellow out to me once. Oh, I know he doesn't look like an agent, but that's why he's supposed to be so good. I understand he's very big in the party, too. Oh, don't mention this to a soul. He's probably on a mission right now, and if we talk loosely, we could ruin everything.
It's hard to believe. What am I going to do?
Wait, darling. Wake up.
What?
We're here.
What?
Nancy. We're in the station.
What? Oh. Oh. Nancy.
We'll go to my place for breakfast, all right?
Yes, all right.
I have to go and brush my teeth and put on my makeup. I won't be too long. I know there is one thing a man can't stand, and that's a girl who takes forever to get ready. Wait for me here, darling.
Ursula, are you sure about the man in the beret?
Oh, can't you forget about him?
Oh, yes, dear. I've forgotten all about it.
And I'll be right back.
Goodbye, Ursula.
Goodbye? Why do you say goodbye?
Well, you're leaving me, aren't you?
I'm just going down the corridor for a few minutes.
But you are leaving me.
Louis, you are so crazy. But that's why I love you.
Goodbye, Ursula.
Louis, where are you going?
Oh, I thought I'd sneak out through the window. I have to give her the slip.
Wait. Let me shut the door. I was waiting for her to leave your compartment.
Oh?
I've told Schneider to delay her on some pretext while you and I get out of here. You're right. We'll take the window.
We?
I'm part of it now. I'll see you through to the end.
Oh, pal, you've been so helpful. I'd like to shake your hand.
Of course.
Nico!
I better go down this street. No, no, that's no good. There's a squad of police.
All civilians against the wall. Show your papers.
I've got to find a place to hide. But where? Where? Where can I hide?
What's the best place to hide from the police? Why, the police station, of course.
Police control, Lieutenant Donitz. Yes, we have the news and the man's description. About 6 feet tall. Yes. Yes, I have every available man scouring the city. We'll capture this American. He can't possibly get through the net.
Lieutenant.
Yes.
Sir, I have come to Nancy to...
Speak up. Speak up. I'm not a mind reader.
Oh, excuse me. I applied for a furlough so I could see my mother, but she isn't here in Nancy anymore.
Yes.
I found out she ran away with a German soldier.
Well, she's better off. Smart thing to do.
Yes, but what happens to my furlough? You see, I only was given a furlough because I wanted to visit my mother, but if she isn't here, do I still have...
Why don't you just go out and have a good time, Frenchie?
Well, suppose someone checks my papers and says, why didn't you report back?
You're a good man, Frenchie. Stick around. I'll check the law out for you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much, Lieutenant.
Respect for the law, it's what we need.
Yes, sir.
Hello, Sergeant Major. I have a little problem which you can answer.
Oh, Lieutenant, I've been such a bother to you.
No trouble at all. Interesting point in the law.
But it's been hours.
Well, I get all kinds of opinions, but no facts. Too late to solve it tonight. Come by again tomorrow.
Oh, Lieutenant, it's after curfew. How can I walk home?
Well, I'm going off duty. I'll give you a lift. Where do you live?
Oh, do you know where the Café de la Paix is on the Rue Napoléon? I live next door.
Café de la Paix? Favorite hangout of mine.
Lieutenant?
Hmm? Oh, what's up?
Law says we have to close.
Well, if that's what the law says... That's what the law says. So, good night, Frenchie. See you tomorrow.
Good night, sir.
Well, mister, time for everyone to leave.
Bartender, I'm looking for Mr. Lafayette.
Are you kidding? I hadn't had any Lafayette brandy since 1939.
I was told to ask for Mr. Lafayette.
Who told you?
Friends of mine in Germany.
I don't know anybody in Germany.
Mister, I'm in a jam. I'm an escaped POW, American.
Oh, is that a fact?
Oh, wait, I remember. I remember now. The password. It's not Mr. Lafayette. It's Lafayette
You are here.
What's your name?
Corporal George McAllister.
You're the guy we're waiting for. Francois, no, don't shoot.
No, don't shoot me.
Francois is behind the door. You came in here with a Gestapo officer. Oh. You pretended to be French. What were we supposed to think?
You were going to shoot me.
You're a cool customer, friend. You sure know how to escape. Why don't you write a book?
And he did. And you have just heard it. In 3 weeks, the Underground was able to smuggle him to England, where he was assigned to an outfit that briefed soldiers in POW escape tactics. Don't you try to escape me. I shall return in a few moments.
Of all times to get hemorrhoids, why?
Pregnancy is a major cause.
What helps?
Well, since you're expecting, ask your doctor before using any medication.
My sister used Preparation H.
For many women, Preparation H relieves occasional pain and itch for hours.
Sounds good.
Preparation H does more. Actually helps shrink swelling of hemorrhoidal tissue caused by inflammation.
Even better.
Preparation H. Help shrink swelling of hemorrhoidal tissues.
Use only as directed.
The menacing echoes of Nazi evil reverberate to a crescendo of vicious conflict as brother kills brother. It happens in The Kane Conspiracy, a story of high-tension suspense told by one of the most widely read authors in the world, Simmel. Only Simmel could capture the violent truth of this intense struggle to restore Nazi terror. A struggle between two brothers who hate each other and love the same woman. Read Simmel's The Kane Conspiracy in paperback from Popular Library.
Oh, we got the whole week shopping done in 45 minutes.
And you know why?
No,
because during the dinner hour, everybody's home. The stores
are empty. Store's empty. That's true. Look at this.
Somebody's broken in, that's what
it is.
Look at the china closets on inside of.
Crime statistics show that most home break-ins occur during daylight hours, that they're frequently done by kids who cause as much vandalism as theft. Now you can get instant protection with the Ultrasonix from Master Lock, the name that means security. It's an electronic burglar alarm that just plugs into any wall outlet, like a radio. Instant protection that costs less than you might think. It sends out ultrasonic waves that sense an intruder's movement and set off a loud alarm. And the Ultrasonix can set off remote alarms, too, plugged in elsewhere in the house, or even next door. For the name of your nearest Master Lock alarm dealer, call this toll-free number, 800-528-6050. Right now, call 800-528-6050.
Began as an essay in trust, has been expanded to include a treatise on confidence, self-confidence. You are what you think you are. The limits to your ability are those that you yourself choose to impose. And there should be no limits to your ability to listen to us 7 times each week. Our cast included William Redfield, Robert Dryden, Earl Hammond, Mandel Kramer, and Rosemary Rice. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Next in KIXI, the weather outlook calls for
Increasing cloudiness with chance of a few showers late tonight and tomorrow. Partly cloudy tomorrow night and Wednesday with patchy night and morning fog. Highs in the upper 50s, lows in the upper 40s. In downtown Seattle currently, it's 49 degrees.
In the air, everywhere, bright and beautiful music, KIXI, Seattle.
And the news next in KIXI, it's now 11 o'clock.
CBS News, the campaign is over, the candidates have had their say, and now the voters will have theirs. Good morning, I'm David Jackson reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Both major candidates for president have made their final appearances of Campaign 76, Gerald Ford in his hometown of Grand Rapids, Michigan, and Jimmy Carter 100 miles away in Flint. Carter then left Michigan to return to Plains, Georgia. Like millions of other Americans, both will cast ballots Tuesday in what most polls indicate will be a tight election, many states listed as toss-ups. On the final day of the campaign, the candidates' wives were on the podiums. In Grand Rapids, Betty Ford spoke to a rally of thousands of her husband's supporters.
I'm so proud of Jerry and the job he's done. And I hope you go out tomorrow and just give that old ballot box a good pull for Jerry Ford!
And in Los Angeles, Rosalind Carter said her husband's campaign has been a family affair.
I have campaigned since April of last year, all over the country. My whole family has, my three married sons, their wives, and of course, Jimmy. We have learned the country. No, the country has learned about us. The campaign has drawn my family close together, and I believe that my family can draw this country close together.
In Bixville Notch, New Hampshire, the polls opened at midnight as per tradition, and even there in strong Republican country, the vote was close. Of the 26 voters, 13 voted for Gerald Ford, 11 for Jimmy Carter, and 1 for Eugene McCarthy. One ballot was declared void. Someone decided to vote for all three tickets. More after this.
In the next 60 seconds, you're going to hear a demonstration of the powerful effect that mailgram messages have with simple, everyday expressions. You see, when you put words in a mailgram message, they suddenly have oomph, pizzazz, impact. Now, take that familiar phrase, thank you. People say it all the time, but if you want someone to know you really mean it, put thank you in a mailgram, and it'll come out, thank you! Another example is the phrase, good luck. In a mailgram message, it'll come out, good luck. Now, isn't that better? When those words of yours arrive in a mailgram message, they'll have the impact of a telegram at a fraction of the cost. Just call Western Union's toll-free operator, dictate your message, and within seconds, it's flashed electronically to a post office near the addressee for delivery with the next business day's mail. That's Western Union's mailgram. Thank you.
The President Ford Committee says it's not trying to exploit Sunday's incident at the Plains Baptist Church when deacons there canceled services as four blacks sought membership. But the committee did send some 400 telegrams to black ministers across the country, suggesting that if Jimmy Carter can't influence policy in his own church, he won't be able to handle Congress. Committee member Martin Dinkins defends the committee's telegram campaign.
It's an unfortunate situation, and we're not trying to exploit it. We're just trying to get to the truth. After all, you don't close the church on Sunday because a black man wants to attend. I mean, you know, the church has nothing to do with politics.
C. Dolores Tucker is Pennsylvania State Secretary and has been campaigning with Jimmy Carter. She sees Sunday's incident as nothing but politics.
I believe it is a part of the dirty tricks that we saw in 1968 that gave this country Mr. Nixon. And I believe these same dirty tricks are being played to bring Mr. Nixon's appointee, Mr. Ford, into the White House in 1976. And I call on all Americans to repudiate this kind of last-minute tactic.
On Election Day Tuesday, citizens of Alaska will be voting on a proposition to move their state capital from its present location in Juneau. That city is in a different time zone from areas of the state where most of the population lives, and it's accessible only by sea and air. Most observers are predicting that a city called Willow South, 70 miles from Anchorage, will become the new capital. Now this.
Duvernay. Any day, anyway, what you say.
Hey, Duvernay is a really special drink that started over in France, but you can enjoy it right here. Straight up, on the rocks, or mixed with your favorite beverage. Duvernay before lunch, or dinner, or whatever you got cooking.
There's a drink you may not know about. It sort of whispers what those others have to shout.
Duvernay, anyway.
A taste that's not too sweet. Oh no, it's not too dark. Girl, it's made for those who finish what they start.
Duvernay, any day, anyway, what you say.
Duvernay, a product of USA. Duvernay Corp, New York, New York.
Duvernay, any day.
The chairman of the Geneva Conference on Rhodesia has called an informal meeting of delegation heads for Tuesday. Britain's Ivor Richard saying he wants the delegates to discuss the idea of fixing a date for the legal independence of Rhodesia. Some of the parties to the conference have complained that too little progress is being made there in the setting up of an interim biracial government for Rhodesia. David Jackson, CBS News.
AIXI, Seattle, with the time now 6 minutes past 11.